makes this place a holy place, and this time a holy time. We're going to receive Holy Communion in a little while today, bring some scripture, have some worship of the Lord before we do that. And we're glad that you are here today, and we welcome you to share communion with us as a Christian community. This is where we, at the foot of the cross, we come. And that's where there's no male nor female. There's no rich, there's no poor, there's no Jew, there's no Greek. We come to a common ground when we come to the cross. And we're glad that those of you that know Jesus as their Savior, that you qualify to receive Holy Communion this morning. Praise God. Not because you are in any way worthy of the blood of Jesus, but you are certainly, most certainly worthy through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're glad that you are here today, and we pray the Lord will bless you and that He will keep you. Hallelujah. Praise God. In this service, after this service, and through the rest of your life until He comes. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Taylor is coming, and he will lead us in prayer today for this service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Yes, He is, brother, and we're glad you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you bless the service today?
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you for your great love, your mercy, yes, your joy, your peace, Lord. Thank you, La Cita, La Bahanda, Lord God, as we go to the communion table today, Lord. Lord, you purchased the church with your own blood, Lord. Thank you for that blood, Lord. We are sanctified through thy blood. We're justified through your blood, Lord God. Shelly Kitala Mamahan. Oh God, you cleanse us from all sins with your blood and through your blood. We're not worthy of your blood, but we're worthy through your blood, Lord. Thank you for peace today, Lord God. Have your way. Move mightily in this service, Lord. Oh, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Meet every need that's present, Lord. Help us to love thee, Lord, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to love our enemies, Lord. Have your way today, Lord God. Thank you for victory. Meet every need that's present, God. Thank you for all things, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And for the glory of God, amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. We want to follow up. Before we actually begin worshiping, can you share for a moment? When we pray for people for specific things called supplication in Scripture, with all things in prayer and supplication, that means to specific, direct, distinct requests. It's not vague. It's not like a shotgun. You just shoot up in the air and hope you hit something. He wants us to be specific about it. And we specifically prayed as this young lady, I call everybody young now that I'm where I am. Amen. And she is a young lady still.
So we prayed 2 weeks ago about my youth ministry. I'm with a youth ministry that goes into the juvenile jail, female jails, and minister to the girls. It's called UYJ, Urban Youth Justice. And for the first time, I had to bring the message. And the message was about letting God fill you up. It said, what's filling you up? That was the title of it. Yeah. So I prayed just because I never brought a message before the girls, and the message went awesome. I used some ping pong balls and like a water jar. First it was just a jar, and then the Holy Spirit was the water filling up the jar. And all the ping pong balls was things that people have told you who you are and who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing at this stage in life. But don't God tells you who you are. So continue to pour God into yourself, and all those negative things that people put into you will start to fall out. And it was amazing. A young girl came to Christ. It was amazing. It was just an amazing Holy Spirit fell in that place. It was amazing. That's all I can say. So,
amen. Hallelujah. Joy in the presence of angels over one sinner.
Amen.
Just one makes news in heaven. Amen. Because joy in the presence of angels, not just the angels, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all those who preceded us to heaven. Rejoice when someone comes to Christ. Hallelujah. So you made heaven happy. Amen. By bringing the gospel of the grace of God to people who, without a change in their life will go on to have serious problems and cause serious problems. But we want to head them off, and we got a ambassador for Jesus and someone we can support prayerfully that can go where we may not be able to go, and that is into that youth situation. And she's in it here and she's in it there, and she's a candidate for the Holy Spirit to use mightily. We're grateful for that today. Thank you for that testimony. Let's worship the Lord today and give Him the praise, honor, and glory that He is due. Hallelujah. Amen. It's one of those songs, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved again. But I'm already saved. Come to the altar. What is the most compelling thing? The Bible said that we should go in the highway and the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, that my table may be filled. Those invited first were the Jew, and they rejected that invitation at first. Many Messianic Jews today have come to know Christ as their Messiah and their Savior. But at first they were rejected. So He said, bid them to the wedding, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And because they rejected, He said, go in the highway and hedge. And anybody you find, invite them to the wedding, that my house may be filled, that the wedding table might be filled with guests. Amen. And He said, not just invite them, but invite them, compel them to come in. Now that doesn't mean to grab them by. It doesn't mean to get, where's the big guy? It doesn't mean to get some muscle on them and hold them up against the wall and say, you know, I heard of a barber one time. He heard an evangelistic message. He had just come to Christ. He's filled with zeal. This is back in the day when they shaved you with a straight razor. You know, they lather you and they use a strap to sharpen it, razor sharp. And they use a straight razor. Every time I see that, I cringe. How can that? I mean, one little slip or twitch and you got a cut. So anyway, he was all enthusiastic. Supposed to be a true story. Amen. He got saved back in the day, and he's shaving a guy. He lathers him up. He puts the razor to his throat and says, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And I would imagine the guy said, no, but I sure would like to. Amen. That's not what that's all about. You know what's so compelling? How we compel people to come in? Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I, if I be lifted up. Now I want to put that in the true context, because we think when we really praise Him, we honor Him, we glorify Him, we're lifting Him up, and that'll draw. This is not about that. That's all good. But this is far, far better and much more compelling, because it actually says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And where and when was He lifted up from the earth and suspended between heaven and earth? He was on the cross. Amen. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, thus signifying the death by which He would die to redeem us. So it's the gospel of the grace of God, not just good news generally, but specifically. Paul said he was a preacher of the gospel of the grace of God. And if you pull the grace out of the gospel, it's not good news. Amen? For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's the gift of God. Amen. We can spend a lifetime living for Him, giving for Him, loving Him, serving Him, because He has saved us. But that's not what saves us. What saves us is the grace of God, because He was suspended between heaven and earth and paid our sin debt today. Amen. God is so good. I'm so glad we're going to share communion and celebrate and commemorate what He has done for us at the cross. We're told in Scripture to lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset us. I've had so many people down through the years say, show me in the Bible where that's a sin. Well, it may not be a sin, but it may be a weight, a besetting weight. Everything is not sin. I'm so glad everything is not sin. If coffee was sin, I'd have to repent quite often. Can you say amen? I always tell people when I get one of those coffees, you know, when I'm on the, not the hot one, the one that's got all the stuff in it to give you energy. Amen. I call them jumper cables for an old guy. Amen. So that, and Sean, we don't even want to go there. You know, he put him in the hospital, couldn't find what was wrong, give him, you know, the bag with the IV to hydrate him. And I said, just put some Starbucks in there. He'll be just fine. We didn't do that. We called on Jesus. Lay aside. We're in a race. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. So he likened our life as Christians to a race. Amen. And we need to be in it to win it. And in order to win it, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And run with patience. The word here is perseverance. It means to keep on running. Amen. We're not trying to outrun each other. We're just trying to finish our course. Amen. Everybody has a course set in life. God has set it for me and God has set it for you. And you're in the midst of running that or you're in the midst of being sidelined. But if you want to win it, amen, you've got to lay aside the sin that we know besets us, but also those weights, those things that get in the way. Paul said, you're not under the law. I'm not under the law. Amen. I'm under grace. It doesn't mean that I don't keep the law, but I don't keep it by keeping all 10. I keep 2 that take care of all 10. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love thy neighbor and thyself. Upon these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. If you love your neighbor, I dare say you will not murder him. You don't need somebody to tell you, don't kill your neighbor. Amen. If you love your neighbor, you don't have to have a law tell you, God's law even, to tell you, don't steal from him. You love your neighbor, and if you love God with all of your heart, you're not going to bow to other gods. Hallelujah. Amen. So it keeps it, but it keeps it in a different way. Not because you have to, but because you want to. The heart is now changed. Hallelujah. And we serve him because we love him today. Lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset you and run with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider him, and that's what we're about to do in just a few moments in Holy Communion, because everybody gets tired running this race. Even if you're young, you get tired running this race. And we need what he's about to tell us. Paul went through so much, but he kept running till he finished his course. Hallelujah. He said, surely there's a crown. Now, he's getting ready to be martyred. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. The time of my departure is at hand. Hallelujah. But that's okay. Because a crown is laid up for me and I'm going to receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus in a particular, peculiar way. Not just for encouragement, but to keep us from being discouraged. We consider him. We get our eyes off of ourselves, our pain, our pressure, and our problems. And on him who died for us and suffered on the cross. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. When I think about me, my problems, my pain, my times of trouble and pressure, it's on me. And I just get deeper and deeper down in that hole. But when I think about him who died for me and suffered on the cross like he did for me, when I focus on Him, amen, guess what happens? I take the focus off of me. And I have a praise to offer Him even when I feel awful. It's not about me anymore. It's about Him and His promise, amen, to never leave me, never forsake me. And I don't doubt it because of how He suffered for me. And that's what we celebrate when we receive Holy Communion. It's a time of fixing our gaze upon Jesus. The actual scripture would put it this way: looking away from all that will distract and fixing your gaze upon Jesus in a particular way, a peculiar way. Not healing the sick, not raising the dead, not working those miracles, but dying for us, suffering for our sins upon the cross. It's supposed to evoke a first love devotion, not mere emotion. We can talk about how bad it was to be crucified and to be beat like He was. And we can evoke emotion. Even tears will come. But devotion goes far beyond mere emotion. That won't pull you through. But if you devote your life to Him, love Him back for loving you, you'll find what you need to follow Him, to stay in the race, and to finish the race, and to finish your course with joy. And that's what I'm after. I'm still running. These legs. Amen. My spiritual legs are still running for Jesus. Hallelujah. After all of these years and through all of these fears and tears that come. But God is worthy and God is faithful. So let's celebrate Him in this song before we receive communion today. Amen. And amen and amen. We're getting ready to serve Holy Communion. You can be seated if you would like today. I don't always do this, but I'm just going to do this just because that I feel led to do this. So many people have heard the gospel. They've heard the story. It's just a story to so many people. The Bible said there would be those that would turn the Word of God into fables, take away all the reality from it, and it's just kind of like fables, fairy tales. It's not truth, eternal, inerrant truth. The truth is that we were without God and without hope in this world. That's what the Bible says of everyone who hasn't received Christ as their Savior. I make that statement very clear at the end of all of our media ministry online, that if you're not a Christian, the Bible said you're without God, and therefore you're without hope in the world. That's a terrible place to be. I understand completely why people drink up, toke up, and smoke up, and try to find something in their life to numb them to the hurt and the pain and the hopelessness that they feel. Amen. And they are candidates. They are ripe to hear the good news of Jesus, the gospel of grace. Because there's no one and there's no thing. Remember the woman that came to the well? She came to the well. Was she Syrophoenician? Was that correct? Anyway, she wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. And they looked upon everyone who wasn't an Orthodox Jew as dogs and people you don't... I mean, you go by somebody that's He'd been left for dead. They thought they killed him. They robbed him, thought they killed him. You walk by, if you're one of the religious leaders, and you say, oh, that's too bad. The world's really awful. Look at that poor guy over there. But you don't go over and try to help him because you would have to come in contact with this Gentile. They looked at, they call them dogs. Talk about racism. Accelerated racism. And Jesus said, listen, who's your neighbor? Who's your true neighbor? Who are you obligated to in any way to help along the way? Amen. He said there was a man who wasn't a great religious man, a great religious leader. Amen. But he saw a man in need, and he saw him as someone that he felt obligated to help. And boy, did he help him. He went over to him. He was journeying, and he stopped. He went over to him, and he poured oil and wine in his wounds. He put him upon his own beast, took him to a place where he could recover and paid for whatever it was going to take for his recovery. And he said, now who is really neighbor to this man? Was it the religious crowd that had such bias and all of that? And it gets in religion, but when you get a relationship with Jesus, that changes. Amen. We begin to love people. Regardless, we love people, and we show that love to show Christ's love to them. And that's what he's done at the cross for us today. So when we receive Holy Communion today, the scripture tells us very clearly, and you heard that, who's worthy? This is a revelation song out of the book of Revelation, part of it. Who's worthy to take the seal and open the scroll? We get into the book of Revelation and we find that God is sitting on the throne, and he has a scroll. Scrolls were rolled up and sealed with a seal, and you unroll one at a time each of these rolls to open up a book. Not like we open a book. You unseal it and you roll out one scroll at a time. And he had a book in his hand, a scroll sealed with a seal. And there was a search made. No one in heaven. That means no one that went to heaven before us, no super saint, no one on earth, no matter how good, righteous they were. No one was found who was worthy to open, to break the seal and open the scroll, because that began the purging of the earth of the wicked and the preparing of the earth for the saints to live forever. No one was worthy, because this was the very judgment of God was going to fall. And remember when Jesus said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he wrote on the ground, and I imagine he wrote their sins very clearly, and they all dropped. No one could say, I am sinlessly perfect. Amen. So no one was found in behalf of fallen man to take the book from him and open the seals thereof. Amen. You find them opening throughout the rest of the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. And John began to weep because he knew the significance of this. Many Bible scholars, without reaching too far, believe this is like giving the title deed back to fallen man that would receive Christ, that Adam gave away to the devil, to the earth. He took control. Amen. But now God is going to be back in control, and he's going to receive you and me as his very children. No one was found worthy, and he wept. And the angels escorting him said, don't weep. Don't cry, John. The Lamb of God. Everybody say Lamb of God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed, and he is worthy to take the book, open the seals, and begin the purging and the preparation of the earth. Hallelujah. I'm glad he prevailed, because we could never prevail, because we'd have to be 100% sin-free and sinless. Thank God he was 100% sin-free and sinless. And as a man in our behalf, he took the book, broke the seal, and it began the purging of the earth and the preparation of the earth for God's people and God's children. New heaven, new earth coming. Amen. Where we'll spend heavenly New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Hallelujah. Right here upon a new heaven and a new earth. They'll need some room, because there won't be any more sea. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many would like to live in the holy city, the New Jerusalem? Amen. Don't be like little Johnny, they call him in Sunday school class, when the Sunday school teacher talked about heaven. Do you want to go describing heaven, getting the kids all worked up about heaven, 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 and said, now, how many of you want to go to heaven? Receive Jesus so you can go to heaven when you die. Boy, that bunch of hands went up except little Johnny. Is there a Johnny here? I just didn't want to get on to nobody. Anybody here named Johnny? Okay, good. I'm not going to get on Johnny. I would change it to Jimmy if there was. Amen. Little Johnny's sitting there. looking very serious. And teacher goes over and said, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, absolutely. Well, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, I thought you was getting a load up right now. So everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Well, we're all going to die one day. Well, not really if you're a Christian. You're just going to shed the old bone bag. Praise God. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But here's where we set our gaze today. John heard lamb and lion. The lamb and the lion. So when he heard the lion, he turned to see who was taking that scroll. And instead of seeing the lion, who easily you can understand him prevailing, he saw a lamb as it had been slain. He saw a little blood-soaked lamb. Isn't it amazing that Jesus humbled himself, and as a lamb, as a sacrificed lamb, he let them beat him half to death and finish killing him. 6 hours of agony on the cross. He let them do that. Was he a victim? Yes, of our sins, but not himself. He allowed that. He said, no man takes my life from me. Oh, they're going to kill him and he's going to let them, but they didn't take it from him. He laid it down. Amen. He laid down on that cross. Amen. They didn't force him to do it. He laid down on that cross. They didn't have to force him. That's why he came, not to lay in a manger and stay in a manger, but to lay down and let them impale him on that cross and stay on it. Remember when Peter tried to defend him? Amen. He pulled his sword when they came to arrest him, swung the sword. He's trying to hit or cut off a man's head. The guy dodged and he just cut off his ear. And Jesus said, put up your sword. If I needed deliverance, I wouldn't depend on you, Peter, and your sword. I could call the legions of angels in heaven. Somebody did the math on that. It was about 70,000 angels he could have called. More than 12 legions. About 70,000 angels, warrior angels from heaven. Peter, I sure don't need you. If I wasn't going to go through with this to save the lost, I could have called the armies of heaven, but I didn't. I didn't. He laid in a manger, and he laid down on that cross. A lamb as it had been slain means the throat has been cut, and the blood is now soaking the snow-white fur of that lamb. That's what he saw. How can a lamb overcome? Because he went into the grave, the Lamb of God, but he came out as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he, Jesus, Lamb and Lion, has overcome. So if you're looking for the Jesus that rode that donkey into Jerusalem and laid down on that cross to come back, that's not who's coming back. I mean, he's the same person, but it's not the same person who let them do that. Amen. The Bible said, and John heard a voice. When the book of Revelation begins, I heard a voice, and it was like many waters flowing, like Niagara Falls. It was forceful. It was powerful. Amen. Like a trumpet blast, he turns to see who this voice was coming from. And he said, I saw one with hair as wool. Amen. With feet as burnished brass. Amen. With a robe down to the foot, with a golden belt around him. Amen. He saw Jesus as King of Kings, Jesus as Lord of Lords, Jesus as the mighty Lion. Hallelujah. Coming back to judge, not the Savior, coming to be the sacrifice. Thank God he laid himself down so we could be saved today. Anybody see the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, this allegory or, you know, about Aslan, this mighty lion? And he lays himself down and lets them kill him. And he didn't have to do that. So don't see Jesus as someone that was victimized by people. No, he did it because he wanted to save you and me. He loved us enough. God loved us enough to give his son. Jesus loved us enough to give himself, to die a terrible death that we might be saved. There's anybody here that doesn't know him and you'd like to receive communion by coming to Christ today? Anyone in this room? I just feel like asking that. You'd like to know Jesus. How many people in the room know him? And I'm not even looking. Amen. We're not worthy of what we're about to receive in and of ourselves. But we're worthy because of the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if there's any sin or weight in our lives today, let's repent of the sin and let's lay aside the weight. One more thing. The Apostle Paul said, now I'm under grace, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient, they're not good for me. If it's in the way, if it keeps me from running full out for Christ, amen, it's something I need to cast aside. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you and run with patience, perseverance, the race that is set before you. Praise God. So let's receive communion today and get ready to run. How about it? Praise God for Jesus. The same night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. At the Passover meal, he said something when he walked into that room. He said, I've longed to share this meal with you. I've looked forward to it. It helps me to understand why that he went to the cross. That kind of love, he looked forward. He knew what was coming next. He knew this would be the last time they would be together on earth sharing this Passover meal. He knew the next stage of his life would be to go to the cross, pay our sin debt on that cross. Amen. And for the joy that was set before him, I've longed to share this meal with you. Amen. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's what held him to the cross. What joy was set before him? Because he would see hopeless, hapless, helpless people that could not save themselves. And I want to say this to all the self-righteous today that may hear or be anywhere around listening. Amen. Either you are going to pay your sin debt in hell forever and never pay enough, or Christ is going to pay your sin debt in full so that you can be saved, because you'll never do enough and you can't suffer in hell long enough to pay it yourself. So either you pay it or he pays it. I don't know about you, but I'm extremely happy today that he paid it all for me. Can you say amen? You don't have to threaten me with hell to get me to come to him. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell to shun. But thank God for the cross that draws me to Jesus. If there was no heaven to gain, if there was no hell to shun, what he did for me on the cross. Listen, if I had a double wide, well, I would even take a single wide. Can you say amen? Trailer and the back 40 of heaven. Amen. And Jesus is there. And my loved ones, listen, at my age, most of my family, almost all of my family is in heaven. Amen. And to be with Jesus and to be with them throughout eternity, amen. Actually, the holy city is not my grandest goal. Amen. Heaven without Jesus wouldn't be heaven for me. Heaven without my loved ones wouldn't be heaven for me. I led my mother to Christ. I'm so glad I'm going to see her again. Amen. I led my grandpa to Christ on my mother's side. I led my grandmother on my mother's side to Jesus Christ. I led my uncle to Christ, baptized him in water. Hallelujah. Used to be a fire chief in Middlesboro, Kentucky. It's my privilege before he died to lead him to Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Praise God. I don't know about your dog or your cat. I don't know about animals. I know they don't have a soul like we do. Amen. I could give you some of my personal perspectives on things like that. But Everything you need to be completely fulfilled and happy throughout all eternity, you're going to find in heaven. But I'm going to tell you this about me. The gates of pearl, it's going to be something to see. Foundation of precious stones, can't imagine what that looks like. Amen. This place is going to be something else. Oh, by the way, there's lots of room. It's a city four square, according to John the Revelator. It's 1,500 miles each way. And it's 1,500 miles tall. I'm finally going to get to live in a gated community when I get to heaven. Amen. Amen. And thank God the gates are going to open wide for you and me. Hallelujah. That's some condo, isn't it? What? Think about that. Can you imagine a city that is four square, 1,500 miles each way, and 1,500 miles tall? And we're invited to live in that city. But the city is not the great draw. The great draw is the only person in that place that's still going to have scars on their body. And that's Jesus. Because after he came out of the grave in a glorified body that he has to this day, amen, he told Thomas, who had a real problem seeing a man die and seeing him alive after 3 days in a tomb, amen, he said, Thomas, come on. Put your finger through this hole right here where the nails went. Put your hand right here in the side where they pierced me. First, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. I want you to know he came out of that grave in a body that has flesh and bones. Hallelujah. And so are we. Glory to God. So today in Holy Communion, let's celebrate a God that loved us enough to give his Son, and a Son who loved us enough to lay down his life so we could be saved, live with him in the city he has prepared for eternity. Hallelujah. The same night he was betrayed, he took bread, he tore it in half, he broke it, and he astounded them when he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, and here we are in the 21st century, amen, here we are still commemorating what he began at that supper. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, shedding my blood, giving my body to be tortured for you. You may eat the bread. He picked up the cup. He said, this is the new covenant. I know it says testament in the King James, and that's correct. But the actual Greek word that it was derived from is covenant. I'm establishing a brand new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Jesus, we thank you for the shed blood and the suffering that you went through to shed it for us. We receive this humbly, but yet with great courage, because we know we're saved because of what you've done for us. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart and with all of our life. You may drink the cup today. Hallelujah. Do you have Psalm 34? Amen. I don't know how this tastes to you. Every communion is sweeter and sweeter to me. I don't know if the grape juice is changing or I'm just changing to where I enjoy, hallelujah, celebrating Jesus today. The Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And we're not talking about this juice or this wafer. We're talking about perceiving God for ourselves. Now, I have a relationship with him that is my relationship with him. I've developed that over all of these years of knowing him and serving him. And I can tell you the song is true. The journey gets sweeter every single day. Amen. Lady in our church used to sing a song over and over and over. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Amen. I don't know the rest of it. Anybody know the rest of it? Another verse? I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way, and I'm not tired yet. I don't know if that's a verse or not. I just made it up. We'll make up our own song today. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't have the joy of knowing Him. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. This is more than religion. This is all about a relationship with Him and to Him. And she used to sing another song, "Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus." Amen. What's that talking about? It's talking about a personal relationship with a person who can be known and experienced in your life. We put up a radio broadcast. I'm old school. Yes, I am. You can tell that. I don't have to. I have to explain that to the radio audience. I don't sound as old as I am, hopefully, but I am. Amen. I tell the radio audience back years ago. I know I don't look as old as I am. I know I look younger because they couldn't see me. Oh, taste and see for yourself. Take time to pray to a person, not to some vague, you know, what is it, the man upstairs, somewhere up there in the cosmos, somewhere beyond the stars and planets. There's this supreme being. He is a supreme being, but He's a heavenly Father to His children. Can you say, man, He's the God of the universe, but He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to know Him personally. A song from the 50s, to know Him, is to love Him, and I do. And if we love Him, we'll serve Him. Hallelujah. And it won't be a burden to do that. It won't be some religious restraint that takes away all the fun out of life. No, this is beyond fun. I've been there. I've had what they call fun. Oh, the joy. What did some guy say? He made a video in the Nashville channel years ago. Amen. Some guy in an alley that fell down drunk and bonked his head and said, "Oh, the joy of the honky-tonk life." Really? Seriously? How many were lost before you got saved? So you've been out there on the other side, the dark side. Amen. I'm going to tell you what beats it. If you've ever found that personal relationship with the Lord where you perceive Him for yourself and know how good He is, there's nothing out there that can even compare with having the peace and the joy and the love in your heart and your life and the hope that you have in Jesus, so you don't have to drink yourself into a stupor or use some drug to get numb to life. You'll never get comfortably numb. I know that was a hit song, but there's no comfort in getting numb to reality. Amen. You can face the world with all of the trouble, heartache, and heartbreak in it with hope in your heart that'll transcend it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good today. Before we go home, can we worship Him in one more song? Will you worship with me? Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see, Psalm 34, that the Lord, He is good. Hallelujah.